you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, this is a chapter that so many people are familiar with and appreciate, and I think there's lots of people with lots of favorite verses, but this is one that is familiar, and it's one that our special guest today that we'll shortly introduce you to also appreciates. But Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, March 1st, 2021. Happy March, Marianne.
Hey, happy March, Mark.
On this Memorization Monday, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 23:2, a great verse, and as you know, we began last week with Psalm 23, verse 1, and so I think for the next 4 weeks, we'll go with Psalm 23:3, and then verse 4, and verse 5, and verse 6.
Psalm.
A great psalm, but we have a special guest, and before Marianne formally introduces him, let me do a little shout-out, because I've gotten to know Trent Meacham mainly through Dr. Webb's Saturday gathering. It's usually once a month. COVID has thrown things off a little bit with one break in there. But
COVID's thrown everything off.
It's a group of guys that want to learn and connect with God, and Dr. Webb's just a phenomenal teacher, and so I've seen Trent from across the room. In fact, I have a sports buddy that sits next to me, and he goes, I used to watch that kid, you know, he's calling him a kid, but that young man play basketball all the time, and so one Saturday, we stayed around, and I said, hey, Trent, tell us a little about what you're doing and where you're at, and so I've been a casual observer other than when I've watched you play basketball or hear you do some color commentary, seeing you as a godly man that wants to be all sold out for the Lord, which I really appreciate. We're Facebook friends, so at a distance I see some of the photos or the sledding that you were doing with your wife and the kids. You love your kids. I love that. You have two twin boys and another son, so you have your three children. I've listened to some of your blogs and gone to your website, TrentMeacham.com. That's TrentMeacham.com. I love the photo of your family. And then some of the things that you just say about your walk with God and the importance of family and such. And so I love when I get to introduce to our radio listeners somebody that's sold out for the Lord, that's trying his best to live for God and influence the community. And you've done that through sports, through your career. Oh, why don't you formally introduce him, Marianne? But thank you, Trent, for carving out time. I know you have a busy schedule, a lot going on, but coming in and being a part of Memorization Monday. And specifically, you said, you know, Mark, I love Psalm 23. So any of those verses would be fine. But today we'll be looking specifically at Psalm 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
Well, Trent, it's great to meet you, and thank you. Here's a formal introduction
for Trent. And look at Marianne, it's within 3 minutes of the program start. So, Trent, you don't know the pattern here, but sometimes we get 6, 8, 10 minutes into the program before we finally get around to introducing the person. So I think we're way ahead of the curve.
So this is pretty quick.
I was kind of
waiting to jump in before the introduction.
Please jump in. This is good for us.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for having me. I'll let you formally introduce myself, but just excited to be here and part of the conversation.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Trent. Okay, Trent Meacham retired in 2018 from a 9-year professional basketball career throughout Europe. That's impressive. Prior, he attended the University of Illinois. After beginning as a walk-on, he became a starter and team captain.
Which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
So he had some talents.
For his hometown Fighting Illini. That's so cool. Trent's first thing in his life is his faith as a follower of Jesus. He's also husband to Teresa, father to three boys, twin 4-year-olds Andrew and Malachi, and 2-year-old Dominic. His greatest privilege and responsibility is leading his family.
Mm-hmm.
He serves as the executive relationship director at the financial firm Cozad Asset Management.
Woohoo! Big shout out for Cozad Asset Management. In fact, one of the best ping pong players in the whole area, if not the state. is Bryant Evans, and he works over there, as does Jack Early, who's a good friend.
Cool.
Appreciate Jack. And Greg Kozad, he's a part of the Pinnacle Group, so I always appreciate meeting up or hearing from Greg. And then Adrian Olson, who is Jack Early's daughter. I know her from church and such. She's all a part of the team. So you have a great team over there. Okay, go ahead.
Really good people. Very good people. I didn't know Bryant was that good at ping pong.
Oh,
but,
phenomenal. Off the charts good.
Yeah.
I won't challenge him, at least for money.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Trent builds relationships and seeks out opportunities to serve clients. He also speaks and consults in the realms of leadership, teamwork, faith, and performance.
Do you also help or assist with basketball camps or some other things with youth? It seemed like you have your fingers in a lot of different areas.
Well, you know, Marianne, she started out saying I retired in 2018, and I guess that's the truth, but, you know, when you're an athlete, that retirement comes pretty early in life. Yeah. So for me, that's been a process of, okay, what's next? And in many ways, you kind of identify yourself with the sport, especially as an athlete. Okay, when that's no longer, okay, who are you? What does this mean? How can I utilize the gifts I have? What do I need to learn to do new things? And the opportunity to, whether it's to speak or to write through my newsletter or to share any of these things, this is just, these are avenues for me to share some of the things that I learn or run basketball camps. The big thing for me is I think there's a deeper purpose in whatever we do. So I love the game of basketball. It's been very good to me. I met my wife through the game of basketball. Mm. You know, and I love helping a young person improve their shot or improve their ball handling, whatever it might be. But I think there's opportunities through that, especially through athletics, to teach life lessons, to help one build their character, and hopefully doing that, hopefully incorporating biblical principles and values throughout. Even if it's not a so-called Christian camp, I think there's still ways to preach the gospel and be a light in any, you know, arena.
Yeah, I know you mentioned you didn't have a set life verse. You liked many verses, and you chose the Romans passage that we just read. But I'm thinking of that Colossians 3:23 or 3:17, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord or not for men. And, you know, like you said, whether it's on the basketball court, whether it's with Kozad, whether it's meeting with people, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And you're very disciplined and intentional and passionate about life, that you can really infuse godly characteristics or behaviors or the good news message of Jesus into those conversations wherever you're at.
It's a great point. It's a great verse. Something I think I wrote that on my basketball shoes for a period of time when I played, you know, just as a reminder. And, you know, it's kind of easy to see how that could maybe apply to sports. You're practicing, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're frustrated. Okay, I need to work. I'm called. This is where I'm at. I'm called to be my very best right where I'm at.
Right.
Let's give the glory to God. Let's do my very best. But whatever I'm doing, I think, is it a financial conversation at Kozad? I'm meeting someone and trying to understand their goals. Is it working with a young kid on the basketball court? Is it writing a newsletter that's like, you know, who knows? Is one person reading this or 1,000 people reading this? I don't know, but this is what I'm doing. And whatever it is that I'm doing, I think God wants us to be our best in that. So I appreciate that reminder, Colossians 3:23, just a really good verse to apply to anything that we do.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's 3:17. Sometimes I flip the two. Like there's 3:23, and I think 3:17 is whatever you do, whether in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love both of those. They're very parallel and very similar, but it's whatever you do, which means whatever. I mean,
whatever.
It's everything.
Whatever, yep.
Or whatever you do, whether in word or deed. It's even how we speak and talk and interact and such. Well, in case you're just tuning in, we have Trent Meacham in the studio, and you can find out more about his ministry, his life work, what he does with his wife through a Greater Than a Game podcast. I listened to a number of those. Your wife, Teresa, who you mentioned also was a professional basketball player. When you look at your photographs, you're both really tall. I can't wait to see what your three children are going to grow up and be like, 6'5", 6'7", good-looking family.
Yeah, they are.
And I love you have a passion for the family. And it's kind of unique to have your wife help you host some of these podcasts. Tell us a little about that. And we have to hear a little of the love story.
The love story. Yeah, we're the evolution. We're podcast hosts now, I guess, you know, amongst other things. But so, yeah, Teresa, she's from Belleville, Illinois, not too far away, comes from a great family. And her brother and I were teammates on an Athletes in Action team during our college year. So Athletes in Action is similar to FCA. It's a mm-hmm. Christian sports ministry. And he played college basketball at St. Louis University. I was at Illinois. We were on a team together, went to France, traveled throughout France, played some games, did a little bit of ministry work there as well. And he was a great player, for one. He played in the Olympics with Australia. Mm. He's naturalized Australian citizen. He's got 5 kids over there. But, you know, really there was just something about him that I just really admired and respected, just the type of man that he was. And he had a couple connections from his younger sister, Teresa, at the time. And, in fact, I heard she was possibly interested in meeting me, and I kind of blew it off for a year or so. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. But finally, I did meet my buddy Kevin at the time, his younger sister Teresa, and I guess things progressed pretty quickly from there. Teresa played college basketball as well at St. Louis University, and she was a far better player than me. But we met in 2007, September. You know, we were both in our middle of college basketball season.
He passed husbandry 101 because he remembered the date, the year, and so forth. Very good.
It was like September 21st, 2007. So we met, and we didn't see each other a whole lot because we're both traveling with our teams and in kind of an intense, you know, seasons. But we were engaged a year later. Less than a year after that, we both had graduated from our schools and we got married. Would have been, okay, I know this one too, Mark, July 25th, 2009. So we got married, and 2 weeks later, we're in a small town in Austria where I started my professional career. Mm. And so that was kind of an awakening for both of us. We really hadn't spent a whole lot of time each other, being distant for a little bit under 2 years in our courtship, dating, relationship, engagement, all that. But Teresa's incredible. You know, she's followed me and supported me and sacrificed for mm-hmm. me. She actually did play professional basketball our first year. I think she was MVP of the league. She, like I said, she was far better than me. Mm-hmm. But she's incredible. You know, one of the toughest but also most graceful people that I know. And, you know, here we are back in Champaign after almost a decade overseas. We, you know, have twin four-year-olds, four-and-a-half-year-olds, Andrew and Malachi, and a two-and-a-half-year-old Dominic. So we're kind of forming our own team right now. And that's I kind of gave you a long answer. I'm not even sure what you asked, but you said something about my wife, and I think it started with a podcast. But that's kind of the quick story of how we met and where we're at now.
Extremely interesting.
Now, did God play much of a role in bringing you together? Like, were you praying that up? And tell us a little of that faith journey. You sound like she has great parents. Was she a believer when you met? And how have you formed your relationship with God together as a family?
Those are great questions. That experience, that relationship, our marriage, is maybe the greatest testament to prayer that I have in my life. You know, growing up, I didn't really date. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't in those relationships and always just, you know, if there's one thing I prayed for consistently, I knew I wanted to be a husband. I knew I wanted to be a father. And that's a prayer I pray just to be able to meet someone that I could connect with, you know, I could make a life with, and probably the most consistent prayer I've ever prayed, you know. And, you know, I was an 18-year-old, 16-year-old, you know, I wasn't praying all the time, but, you know, tried to stay faithful. And that was a prayer that was pretty much nightly.
And daily. Who was influential in introducing you to Jesus or God, or that you could have a relationship with him?
That's great. I think it starts with my parents, you know, and what they modeled, and even seeing a great marriage that they had. So I think that's something I always aspired to. And you asked about my wife. She's from a very strong Catholic family. Her parents are incredible. She's got 3 other siblings, all close in age, and just a great family. Mm-hmm. And there was something different about her, too, you know, when we met, that I could just tell, just a depth to her mm-hmm. that I was very attracted to. So as I said, yeah, that was just a prayer that I think I prayed. I think Teresa was on her own path as well, and we met it, you know, I think the right time for both of us. And, you know, as anybody who's married knows, there's challenges, there's all sorts of the above, but I just feel incredibly blessed mm-hmm. with my marriage. And, you know, like I said, it's a testament that I have to the power of prayer, just how things have kind of played out, and, yeah, very grateful for what we have.
Mm, that's beautiful.
And people have come alongside you and helped you in your faith journey. I know Dr. Webb and others have had an influence on, you know, helping you model Christ, you know, whether it's in your vocation or on the court or in the community. So you chose this Romans verse. Why does that have special significance for you?
Yeah, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I think it's just a reminder that God can work anything for the good. Mm-hmm. We all go through stuff. Say it another way. we all go through stuff, and there's challenges, whether that was on the basketball court as a white kid who's average, you know, athletically and always maybe at a disadvantage in some ways, or now as, you know, kind of a rookie in a new, you know, new field, or just life and relationships and kids and being a parent. There's stuff, but everything, just kind of reminding that, hey, God can use anything. Right. God can use this, you know, my boy wakes me up at 1 a.m., at 3 a.m., at 5 a.m. Okay, God can use this to develop patience in me and grace in me. And so no matter what comes against us, God can use that. We can grow from it. And that's really where we grow in those instances. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, whether it's mentors or spiritual followers, however you want to put it, there's no question. You know, as an athlete, you know the power of a coach. Yeah. We all need coaches to be our best. And so there's been a few individuals when I think of, we were talking a little bit about Jason Epperson, who's a pastor here in town at CU Church. He's been a mentor, a friend, you know, to me for years and years. Another guy, Marcellus Casey, who was here in town with FCA, had a great impact on me for a few years when I was in college. So that never changes. We always need people that we can kind of look up to and learn from.
Well, today on Memorization Monday, we're going to look at Psalm 23:2, which says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters."
Okay. Here's the words of Robert J. Morgan from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know. "Sheep eat standing up. We once had a small flock, and the only time I saw them eat lying down was when sick. Sheep eat on all fours, then find a shady spot to lie down and chew their cud. When the psalmist said, 'He lets me lie down in green pastures,' he meant, 'I'm well satisfied. I've had plenty to eat. My needs have been met. Now I'm going to settle down in contentment.'" What about the still waters? Sheep are frightened by rushing streams, for they wear heavy woolen coats that can become waterlogged and result in drowning. Our sheep wouldn't come near the water trough while I was filling it with the hose. The sound and sight of the splashing bothered them, but when the water was stilled, they'd come and drink all they wanted. If we're under the shepherd's ownership and care, he'll see to it that every need in our lives is met in one way or another. Our external needs, our internal needs, and our eternal needs. Our job is to graze in the sweet pasturage of the Word and to drink from the still waters of the Spirit. A writer of yesteryear, William Evans, observed, "It's generally recognized as being a very difficult thing to get God's people to thus lie down. They'll do almost anything and everything else but that. They will run, walk, fight, sing, teach, preach, work, in a word, do almost anything and everything except seek seasons of quiet and periods of retirement for secret communion with God and quiet soul nurture. We do not like pauses from the rush into the hush to which Jesus calls us."
The rush into the hush.
I know, that made me smile. "During some seasons of the year, our sheep drank little or nothing from their trough. We learned that if the climate's right, sheep can go for a long time without actually drinking water because of the heavy dews. When the grass is sopping wet, the sheep take in their needed moisture with their nutrition. It's a wonderful picture of the Spirit-drenched Scriptures. In the early morning, we graze in the sweet pasturage of the Word of God, covered with watery dew of the Holy Spirit. What an apt image of the Christian's daily quiet time. Spare no effort to learn this psalm. The 23rd Psalm has been memorized by every generation, from antiquity to modernity. It's been quoted across the centuries and through the millennia. In just 6 verses, amounting to about 100 words, it sums up all our needs in life and all the gracious provisions of God's grace. Learn it a verse at a time, and each verse will build on the preceding one. Remember, it begins in green pastures and ends in the house of the Lord forever." And here's a quote from the Presbyterian Psalter. "My faithful shepherd is the Lord, supplying all my needs. In pastures green, he makes me rest, by quiet waters leads."
That's Psalm 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And I don't know, Trent, if you've heard this before. I read it somewhere, but this verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures, it implies, I don't know the original, but it's like as if God has to force us down. He almost has to restrain us, because our tendency is not to rest, is not to lay down. And so he makes me. It's like you envision somebody pushing down on your shoulders. He impresses upon you that you need to lie down, because it's not our general tendency, or we just want to work or whatever, be active. And sometimes it's awkward to slow down, to have that still small voice, to be receptive to it, because we've cluttered our life with so much. Has there been a point where God really forced you to lie down and rest, or is it a natural tendency to you to say, oh, we take our Sabbath or we slow down here? Like,
how it's
do
completely
you
natural that? Here yeah, in 2021,
yeah.
right?
No. Right.
You know, I was just thinking that, you know, that next verse, 23:3, starts with, he restores my soul, and I'm thinking, can you actually be restored if you don't first rest? And even thinking in this creation story in Jewish culture, Sabbath starts with rest. For us, the day starts in the morning, right. Okay, when you wake up. But in Judaism, it starts at night, at sundown. Right. And, you know, we start from this place of rest. Now, that's not easy to do in my life. I don't know if I do that very well. As a family, we're trying to kind of have a Sabbath dinner, and we don't have a whole day where we do nothing at all, but we try to protect, and for us, Sunday evenings, we just try to protect that time as best as we can and have a special meal and an opportunity just to make sure that we kind of start the week from a place of rest and just good fellowship. And, you know, at my stage in life, especially 2020, things haven't been too crazy in terms of obligations to go here and do that. And there's been some good in that. I think 2020 has maybe caused some of us. Has God forced us, or maybe even thinking of Romans 8:28, is he using this to, hey, a lot of it, we can rest. We can kind of reconnect with family and some of the things that are most important. So just kind of thinking of that. But that's something we're trying to do, Mark, just because it's difficult with all the distractions now.
I know for you, Marianne, this could open up the whole great discussion on Sabbath rest committing to the Lord. And I know they say it flips your switch. You could get really excited about it.
I feel very strongly and observe the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Well, today's verse on memorization Monday, Psalm 23:2. I hope you can ponder it, think about it, find points of application for your life as you maybe read this psalm over and over today. But Psalm 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. That's very important, that he leads me besides quiet waters.
Don't those green pastures just sound lush?
Yeah, and those quiet waters, I think we all could use some of that quiet time.
I agree.
Trent, I appreciate you being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I want to alert our listeners to find out more about the ministry work, your consulting, the different ways you want to be active in people's lives. They can find out more about you at TrentMeacham.com, and that's TrentMeacham.com. A lot of information there. I think you'll be really encouraged and blessed. You can access their podcasts or Trent's newsletter, and you'll hear many of their podcasts with his wife, Teresa. It's kind of fun to listen to both of them chit-chat and share and explore different ways or strategies or techniques. They have a lot of different topics they cover. So that's at TrentMeacham.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Trent Meacham with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.